It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Yeah, I think we had a really good show last night for the first time. I mean, the shows have been fairly good. At least, unless they're kidding me, everyone in the studio seems to like them. But then, you know, they get paid.
Well, there's two out of 6 billion. That's right.
It's two down and 6 billion to go.
That's right.
Last night's show was unusual. And I encourage those of you who are utilizing the Be Still and Know concentration exercise, which will deliver you healing very rapidly, but also with some pain, to call this program because it's for you. And those who are crossing the dial will just get to hear what benefits are happening or what troubles we are walking you through. And by some kind of an osmosis, by what word am I looking for? By I can't find the word, but it's kind of infectious. And the very fact that people open up and express thoughts that have been long hidden in the bosoms and hearts of many people, it has a catharsis effect. I do encourage those of you on the path to call me with whatever you need to solve some sticky problem, because there are places where you will need a little help, little tangle, little knots that are cunning, subtle and hidden and, well, entangled. Like a gentleman called last night, was the gentleman called last night with that, we're going to play him to introduce the program, but was he a first-time caller, David? Do you remember?
I think he said he had been listening to you for some time.
Yeah, but he hasn't started the meditation.
I didn't think so, right.
You want to talk a little bit about auto-suggestion the word suggestion as you read it in the Webster's Dictionary, because it's quite accurate. Because it's very germane to our program.
Would you like me to read it?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, well, this is from the Webster's New International Dictionary, the 1930 edition, and it is the word suggestion. And here's what it says. Presentation of an idea, that which is suggested, an intimation, a hint, an evil incitement, temptation, the entrance into the mind of an idea or intimation originated by some external fact or word which tends to produce an automatic response or reaction as hypnotic suggestion.
Boy, do I understand that stuff, but still,
yeah.
They don't explain the actual key, what that entrance into the mind is, what the key is. And the key, if everyone's listening, the word resentment. And the resentment, I think it comes from the Latin resentere, look it up, meaning to feel again. And you haven't dealt with the problem properly by reacting to something, then the unfinished business regurgitates, it comes back to you later, and you react to it as if it was happening all over again, trying to deal with it in your head. And there is the sticky wicket. This is where you're all stuck. And if I can unstick you from that, then I can go on helping you to unstick all the others. But it's very rapid. Sometimes whole groups of problems, whole layers disappear. And sometimes, every now and then, I get someone who blossoms in minutes. It's almost like they receive the knowledge of their fault with such great joy that it's all over. There's no need to go through a whole lot. Little echoes of problems in the past, naturally, when you're in the shower walking down the street, little flashes of insight start to come, some negative, some which you deal, oh, that's why I did that, oh, that's why I felt, you know, that's why I drank. That's what made me behave like the father I hated, etc. But it comes to you gently. But I do hope this evening, and we do have a lot of calls, that you welcome the knowledge of your faults gladly. If you resent it, the door opens, and you've got some problems that you
need
to
solve. Let
me give
out the number. 1-800-866-8883. That's 9 to midnight, West Coast time, Pacific time. 1-800-866-8883. We'll be right back.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
And David Masters. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we had a very nice program last night, and we do have a lot of calls coming in now, but they have to be screened, and so... David, would you go ahead with that... explanation of suggestion again, because I've reserved my comments to this portion of the hour. Just real fast, and then we'll take our calls.
Okay, so I'm reading a book. It's called The Cure Within, and it's the history of mind-body medicine. But chapter one starts out with the new Webster's New International Dictionary, 1930 edition, and it is the definition of suggestion.
Yeah,
presentation of an idea.
Yeah, it takes a few minutes, but it's got some good thoughts in it, but I want to make a comment.
Okay. Presentation of an idea. That which is suggested, an intimation, a hint, an evil incitement, a temptation, the entrance into the mind of an idea or intimation, originated by some external fact or word, which tends to produce an automatic response or reaction as hypnotic suggestion. There you go.
Yes, now, the factor that makes this true is not included, and I wish it was. The factor would be that the word resentment needs to be included in that there somewhere, because it's the word intimidation is used. But did I hear the word intimidation?
No, incitement.
You didn't.
No.
Yeah, excitement, like...
incitement, to incite.
Incite, but that's intimidation.
Intimation. Intimate.
Yeah, intimidation is yes, but that is conducive to intimidation. But the word intimidation should be used, and the response to an intimidation, whether it's verbal or a look, is hypnotic. And that hypnotic reaction, which bypasses the filtering process of consciousness, pure consciousness and reason, logic, common sense, and selfhood, it opens the door to the will of others. And it sets in motion a system of events that can't be stopped. And a lot of people live with it and are able to hide the fact that they react to things. The door opens. They react with resentment, as if resentment was a defense, and it isn't. It opens the door unless it's badly. Resentment is the evidence of a failure of human person to deal with inhuman people properly. The inhumanness of a person is what you resent.
So what you're saying is that when you deal with somebody who is inhuman. Resenting them.
Or unhuman, or unfair, or unjust.
Well, inhuman meaning cruel having no heart. That resentment toward that kind of person essentially converts you to the same kind of energy.
It converts you to their will. Whether you And you can try to rebel against it if you want to. You can rebel against that person, but then run away to another to comfort you, who agrees with your wrath against that person, who supports you in your anger against this person. And that would be the same spirit of evil, if you like, in disguise. The comforter, the friend that supports you in your hostility towards another person, your failure, in other words, is supporting your failure and encouraging you to be angry at that person and bonded to them. It happens in a family where a mother plays the role of victim. She's really intimidating the husband and making it difficult for him to the point he's exasperated. When he's exasperated, he looks like he resorts to anger and violence, and then she acts like the victim when she's the cause of his behavior. But, of course, you can't blame the poor woman, because men don't know how to deal with women. It's just it's something we need to understand in our society before we lose it. But this is the way it works. As a rule, when the woman is manipulative and knows how to take pleasure from intimidating a helpless husband who wants to hit but knows that he goes to jail if he gets the short end of the stick. But that rage and hostility drives him to drink, suppress the anger, and he looks like the bad guy. And then he looks for friends who support him in his drinking and his wrath against his wife, but he never learns to deal with the wife properly, because his anger towards her is kindled by the friendship or fiendship of others. So therefore, the friend in need is just as bad as the cruelty that he has harbored, made a home in him. And what I'm trying to do is, maybe I'm taking it too far. Have I taken it too far, David, do you think? Or made my point?
I think you made the point, which is that the person... Well, you've said it this way, that your enabler is also your disabler.
That's correct.
But and so this is what I get from what you're saying, is that a person that will support you in your role as a victim...
Or role even if you in your anger towards somebody, you'll need a drink, you'll need a friend, you need to join a gang, you need a family. There's somebody who hates society as bad as you do and supports your rebellions, and that support makes you a slave of that support, and therefore it's just as evil as the one you're rebelling against. The one that comforts you is as bad as the one that does it to you.
But now, just for the sake of this discussion, most people that comfort don't see themselves as doing anything but being helpful.
I know, but you may be inadvertently sort of recruited to comfort a person, not knowing, not really meaning to be a support, but feeling the call to sympathy rise to the occasion as a friend, and being quite ignorant of the fact that you're making things worse. Like, mama may see the kids crying and want to see them hurt. They rise to the occasion of the little angry crying spells they put on to get their way, and rise to the occasion to this crying child who wants something but feels hurt because he or she can't get their way. And mother, being maternal, rises to the occasion, not meaning to spoil them or make them worse, but thinking she's loving them while she's destroying her own children, without realizing it, innocently, if you like. So therefore, she's acting the role of evil without even realizing it. So the child is calling forth the worst in the mother to support the worst in the child. And the child is getting worse and doesn't understand why mother has the effect on he or she the way it's happening. In other words, the child is getting her own way, and the mother is feeding the dark side of the child. And the goodness of a child does not now understand, oh my God, I'm worse than I was. My mother's loving me, but why do I hate her so much? But then the child feels guilty for hating and loses its own identity through that hate, and becomes bonded to the mother for the reassuring love. And mother becomes the enabler and grows up with wasteful children, who eventually reject her because she keeps loving and loving and giving all she's got, until all she does is bring up a spoiled brat who really doesn't care for that mother, who really hates, has contempt for the weakness, for the weakling mother, who gave the children everything they want. And the children go and look for others that will support them, and they become parasites.
In a manner of speaking, let's use an example. If a mother gives a child, let's say, candy every time it throws a tantrum, and then at the end of a number of years, the child becomes disfigured because of, you know, obesity.
Well, it happens, in other words, psychologically. I'm mostly talking about the psychology, but then you give your children all the wrong foods to comfort them. That is it's a double whammy.
But my point is that even though the child is getting what it wants,
it's not getting
within,
what it needs.
A person knows that what they want and what they need are often two different things, and so when they've been
children
given
know
that. Children know that, and so do many adults, but the point is that when they get to that point where they've been weakened by the giving in, how can they help but not hate that which has given it to them?
I know, and that's part of the hating is part of the, of course.
Because of what is produced.
Part of the problem.
By the result of that giving in.
Because
right?
The resentment, because the kindness has turned into a form of slavery, and
well,
the inability
it has
to function.
An aberration. It has become transmogrified by the wrong kind of love.
A form of contempt. In other words, there's almost a contempt you have.
But I mean, if you take a look at Britney Spears, for example, a spoiled person who has no one to say no to her. So there's nobody in the world that can say no to her, not even a judge. The people that have everything they want.
Now you've hit it right on the head. Now, here it is. What love really is the ability to deal imperfectly with the imperfect people, and they could be your wife, your husband, or your children. If you deal perfectly, it means you're not resentful. If you're not resentful, you don't have the two. I want to go as slow as I can. When you're not resentful, which is you dealing with it perfectly, you mean you're immune to resentment like you're immune to a disease. You know, it's a spiritual immune system. When you're not resentful, I repeat, you do not have the danger, you're not in the danger of making two wrong choices, getting upset and screaming at somebody and degrading them and then feel guilty and wanting to make up for them or feeling unclean yourself. Feeling guilty, and or getting upset, and giving into them, trying to avoid the next confrontation, trying to avoid it with love. So, if every person listening to this program can learn the secret of learning, you have this within yourself. You already have this ability to deal perfectly with imperfect people. That way, you hold up a mirror. And remind the your children, your husband, your wife, of how, well, like you're holding up a mirror so they see themselves, and it requires very few words. Because when they don't get their way, they have resentment towards you anyway, but the resentment is towards the good, and the good comes across inside them and sits inside for a while, and if there's any decency in them, they'll think better of it because they have what it takes to think better of it. They have your ideas, your suggestion, your example, your demeanor, your patient endurance, the wonder of it, and they feel clean. They're so happy they didn't get their way.
And so, in a sense, by not reacting, you create a resentment that is not based on injustice, but based on justice.
That's very well said.
And then, later on, the person is literally freed by the justice because don't have a cause, they don't have a legitimate cause for holding that resentment.
Well, the suggestion, the person then becomes the anger generated by the attempt to reject the goodness because there's darkness in people that wants its way through them. There's a dark side of people that wants its way through them and they think it's them that's wanting and them that's thinking that they want it. And they've not had a distinction. So when that dark side acts through that person towards a noble individual who is patient and kind and thoughtful and cannot be broken, then the horror of coming face to face to what they should be like inside themselves, to be being reminded of what they should be and seeing themselves what they are, has a powerful suggestive effect, counter-hypnotic. It's counter-hypnotic. It means they may not get it right away, but they feel stricken. They feel upset. There's an attempt. They generate their own resentment, even though you've made no attempt to evoke it. And therefore, they have another set of thoughts inside them that bothers them, that is a companion to that which they were born with. And they come around like many of my audience are listening right now. We'll take our calls now.
Good.
Can you let me see if I can give the phone number of the foundation. Ladies and gentlemen, did you like what we just said? Would you care for a CD that doesn't cost you anything? The CDs, because we have to send it through the mail, and it does cost us money, but you can download it for free on the web if you can get to the FHU.com, Foundation of Human Understanding. You can download it, no cost, and if you get better from any of these, any ailment that's based on emotion, they're legion. If you get better permanently, you wait a while to see if it's permanent. You can make it permanent by learning to deal that way all your whole life from that way forward, because then no more is added while you're resolving what was planted. It's easy. And as long as you're reacting, you've got a hole in your boat and you keep bailing out. You can't bail out the water because it keeps rushing in too fast. And you sink in spite of all your efforts. So call the office, 866 Radio Roy. There is no 800 number. It's a porno site. If you call an 800, if that, you call that, it makes it. I'm sorry about that, but it's such an easy number to remember. 866, no 800 number. Just 866-8883. And the website is FHU.com. Okay, now we take our calls. California, let me see what we got here. Reoccurring nightmares. Ah, hello.
Hello, Roy.
It's Kate, is it? Yes.
Yes, yes. I wanted to ask you how to handle them, because I have them about every couple weeks and they seem to be getting worse, and it always comes over the same way. I feel like I'm awake the whole time, but my body's paralyzed and I can't move. And I know that I'm in bed, but then this demon on the inside screams every time. And
I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm very familiar with it. But there are two states you're talking about, the two states. One state comes about by sleeping on your back.
And I always make sure that I'm on the side, but you know what? Every time it happens, I feel like I'm being lifted and turned on my back.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't know why that is, but take note, go try to get one of those beds that sort of prop up, and it's hard to turn over. You know, you sort of like a sofa bed that you press a button and the back comes up a little bit, so that way it's hard to turn. And like a hospital bed. You sleep well in a hospital bed for that reason. But you're sleeping on your back, but you're propped up somewhat, and it makes a difference. See, so if you're going, so, yeah, I actually got myself mixed up, but the point is, it's very good to sleep that way, but the best way to sleep is on the right side, away from your heart.
Okay.
See that, but that would be helpful. So don't sleep on your back unless it's a hospital bed that has the action of a hospital, then you're okay. I don't know why that is, but I find that it works. And then, that is what causes the, awaking paralysis. That's like you're awake and you want to cry out. You're crying out in your sleep.
Yeah.
It's sort of sleep paralysis, but you're not really asleep.
No, exactly.
It comes on you suddenly and you want to cry and you can't cry for anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very uncomfortable. I know that, but it's very common and it's not dangerous.
It's just not dangerous. Okay.
But it's an opportunity for the demons that you talk about. It's an opportunity. It gives them an opportunity to do their thing. You see. Why you're tied up that way. Now, let's talk about the opportunity. The opportunity comes in the daytime. Because in the daytime, when you deal with imperfect people perfectly, you don't, it depends upon the degree of rage, but I suspect that you're, how old are you? How old are you? 24. You have a history of being angry and you know, being irritable and annoyed and upset.
Absolutely. Because, and the further I go, the more I see it.
Yeah. Yeah, because that keeps opening the door a little bit more to the bottomless pit. I would rather, forgive me for being sort of poetic or sounding like Dante's Inferno, but it is true that your reactions to injustice are infections by the demon behind the person that's doing it to you. In other words, people don't realize they're moved by a spirit. You're either moved by a good spirit, I mean, your goodness of your heart, the natural goodness of your heart, which carries with it a great degree of patience. As a matter of fact, it makes you eventually immune to any kind of intimidation. Then you are safe. You are absolutely safe and sound with a perfect spiritual immune system. It also, that spiritual immune system also has benefits to your physical immune system. Because when that breaks down, then you are left with the animal immune system, but that will break down very quickly because, you know, you're beginning to deal with your problems, unlike an animal who's not aware of their problems, whatever it is. They don't have an intellect to try to figure out what's wrong with them, and they don't harbor hostilities and judgments and blame and all the kind of complications that human beings are capable of. And so what you do is you are self-destructing. You allow people to get inside you. When they get inside you, they get inside you because you don't know how to deal with them properly. You judge them and you'll be resentful. You picked up this from your mom, I guess. It comes usually from moms towards dads. And children begin to feel their mother's hostility towards their fathers. There's a latent hostility of women towards men. And a tendency for women to justify their sense of superiority, because they're the weaker sex, and there's an ego war going on between men and women. It's ages old, ever since the paradise was lost. So every Eve ever born has never been loved by a man, or rarely been loved by a man. There's just a few cases that women are loved by men, but it's so rare that it's not hardly worth mentioning. It's in the classics and stories, but hardly ever in reality. And so women unconsciously set up their husbands to fail. And they do that by loving them in a wrong way. And if they can't get love, a response back, affection back, then they start to intimidate for it. And then the men get, as they start to give in, they feel themselves being manipulated, and when they, at a certain point, they realize they've been had, and they start getting angry over sex, and either become addicted to it and becoming brutal and more brutish for the sake of it, and the woman tends to encourage it, and then you have a problem with your father. And when you have a problem with your father, the woman mostly looks like the victim. And when the woman is the victim, you as a child, you feel the victimhood of your mother towards your father, and you grow up with a hostility towards all men, but still you need them. But the only way you can draw them is because you haven't got love. You have a pretty face and a nice body, so you use the natural talents you have to make them dependent on, you know, make them ego dependent on your affections, sensual affections, and it starts all over again. See, you tend to spoil men. Your mother spoiled your dad and then became a tyrant over him, and he didn't know how to deal with it. So you got this hostility from childhood, and you become a carbon copy of your mother, or you try not to be. But the point is, it's there anyway. And until you learn to deal with your frustrations, which began in childhood, I'll take your call after the break. Don't go away. Such an important point. There's so many ways to go. You must forgive me. I sometimes, like David said, I overexplain myself, but this is important. We'll be right back. Show number is 5061.
Hi, it's David Masters. The scripture says all who sin are slaves. That means we're all in bondage. We all need freedom. Now Roy Masters presents his 2007 4th of July Freedom Seminar on audio CD. Starting a subscription now to the Lecture of the Month means you'll receive Part 1, the first installment of 5 life-saving days at the seminar held this last summer at Tall Timber Ranch in Oregon. The 2007 4th of July Freedom Seminar will change the way you look at your life. Every month you'll receive a CD or a tape for the price of $200 a year. You can order the Lecture of the Month download subscription from the website for just $80 a year. And if you want to order Part 1 only, call and ask for the January 8th Lecture of the Month. Call 1-800-877-3227 or visit FHU.com. To order, call 1-800-877-3227. Are you ready to understand what freedom really means? Are you ready to give up those things that are keeping you in bondage? Visit FHU.com.
Yeah, I'm talking to Kate, and I'll be talking to her just a little while because I haven't really got to her issue about nightmares and being attacked by, things that go bump in the night, but I'm trying to lay a foundation and for all of you to hear, because all of you have this system. You're caught up in a system of being upset and then it with people, places, and things, and it becomes conditioning. After a while, it's just automatic. You can't help but being upset by a color or a sound or the look somebody's look, even if it isn't your parents' look, it's similar. And you don't notice, so all these things going on all the time. And each time you get upset, your conditioning to the world grows stronger, and your will over yourself, the ability to live a life, the perfect life, the human life, slowly dissipates. And then you got the internal struggle with the people inside your head. But they're not just people, they're images. It's deeper than that. There's something that, there's a puppeteer to those images that sort of torments you there too. You cannot see the puppeteer. But if you react to the people in your head, which are, dancing around, and as if it becomes like it's happening over and over again, but the person isn't there, and you're reacting to thoughts as if they were real people, see, and that opens the door of your soul. First of it gets into your mind, and then your soul is next, and that's when you start having those nightmares. See, so ladies and gentlemen, you start having people, you're talking to yourself, and you hear things, and it's very, very common, and people are loath to admit it. So I have a way to help you with that. It's perfectly natural. You have the ability within yourself to conquer this. You need no help from me except the way to the way. I'm not the way, but I'm the way to the way. I have a knowledge of it, and I will pass this knowledge on to you. You go to the website, FHU.com, and download it, no charge, and you can give a donation if you wish. Especially, we can wait a while and wait for it to work, and then I'm sure you'll donate quite generously. So we can pass it on to our soldiers, because we're embarking on a new voyage to help the military with their post-traumatic stress disorder. 866-RADIO-ROY, 866-RADIO-ROY, no 800 number, no 800 number, FHU.com, we'll be right back.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
I hope I wasn't too fast and free with my explanations. I'm going to slow down to help you. Actually, I was talking to you during the break. Did you hear me talk to you during the break about you react to people and places and things, and then
yes.
and it gets inside your head, and when it's inside your head, you struggle with it there, and while you still go on reacting even more to people because you're starting to get conditioned, it's all automatic after a while, and there's not a thing you can do outside or inside, and the outside keeps getting inside, and slowly but surely, not only has it penetrated your spiritual defense, which is patient endurance, but now your mind is going crazy, and it's affecting your immune system, and you become down with many kinds of illnesses that pertain to the immune system breaking down because your emotional state, which animals don't have in nature. But your danger is that you're being infected by the thoughts in your head that you're still angry with. You're not finished with it when you get upset. You're not finished with it. It's still, you can't forget it. And because you can't forget it, you fight it with the same anger that allowed it to get in there in the first place. And this process, you're fighting with the puppets of your thoughts, but there's a puppeteer. Mm-hmm. You don't see the puppeteer behind that because it's egging you on so that you react, so it penetrates you more deeply. And that's when you start having those nightmares because you don't see it in the daytime. But when your consciousness is less prepared, more vulnerable at night.
Well, I think it shocks me a little bit in the beginning when it starts because I had a very traumatic childhood because of my dad. And
I was right on the money then, wasn't I? I was right on the money about you.
Especially during the break when you were talking about how it opens a door to your soul. So what happens is I get a feeling of shock, and then I hear my dad's voice, which I haven't heard for at least 12 years.
Yeah, but it's not him. It's not him. It's David. David, what's that voice you have for the Exorcist? You make an imitation of that young girl who turns the heads 360 degrees. Don't you remember? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know the movie.
When the priest is trying to exercise.
Are you talking about my fine impersonation of Yoda?
No, no, not Yoda.
Your mind never where it should be.
No, not that, David. It's The Exorcist. It's when you have such a good imitation.
Oh, I know what you're talking. You're talking about The Lord of the Rings.
No, The Exorcist, David. The word exorcist is a movie.
Yeah.
You remember that? Oh, well, never mind.
It was a long time ago.
No, it was just recently.
What did I do it? Where did I do it?
I know it doesn't matter.
Okay.
We don't want to lose my customer here. Okay. Kate, look.
So what was your point for bringing that up?
Well, because it was what... I can't remember the lines, but it's so appropriate for Kate to hear.
That it traumatizes you and pulls up the same reaction that you have reinforced in you since childhood, and that opens.
That's right. This father's voice that you hated so much, it's of course it's a memory, but it's the thing that was in your father now in you. And it needs you to be angry and upset because that's how it advances deeper into you. That's what the Taliban and the fundamental Muslims, the fascist Muslims, what do you call them, David? Do you have a name for them?
Islamofascists.
Islamofascists. They use the same terror to intimidate themselves into you so that you will the doors of your mind will open to accept their ways. It's happening all over Europe, and it will happen in America if we don't learn the game that's being played and learn to use our Christian values and our Judeo-Christian values to invoke the laws of God in our heart to those people to which I refer to as dealing with imperfect people perfectly. In other words, you have to discover patience and forgiveness of your father. So when you hear
if it should ever happen again, pretty aware during the whole thing, and I think I'm able to handle it pretty well. It's just really painful.
What will happen to you? What will happen to you when you meditate, and what happens is when you meditate, it's not just the meditation. It's the willingness to receive the light within you that follows you as conscience, not as the enemy, but as a good friend, and to be willing to bear the pain of its presence. Because the pain that you experience is that part of you that sounds like your father and upsetting you and degrading you is that's that spirit. It's not you. So there's a war going on for your life. A war goes on and you've got to get out of it. You must not struggle. You must stand in the middle and with the faith that I hope you can understand what I'm saying, the fact that you can understand what I'm saying.
So painful that the voice in my head tries to tell me that I can't handle it,
but it's also true. You can't. So what? You don't. See? That's it. You don't. You're not supposed to. Because if you do handle it, it's what you want. It's tempting you to handle it. It's intelligent.
I get it. Yes, yes, I get it.
It's intelligent. See? So you, when you understand me completely, you'll be completely well. And what happens, what will happen in your sleep, in your dreams, things like your father will come to you. This is what, I'm not saying it will, but you, instead of having nightmares, you're going to have healing in your sleep, because meditation or the process of living, dealing perfectly with imperfect people is progressive and positive. And instead of, and if you have issues, the healing goes on 24 hours a day. And in your sleep, you may, just for example, you may suddenly dream of your father and he's different. And he comes to you and says he loves you and he apologizes for all the things he did wrong, but he really does love you. And you're overjoyed to receive your father's love, but it isn't God. It's not your father that you're embracing. It's the puppeteer of God. The spirit behind you is doing this so that you resolve the issue, but you're not solving it yourself. It's a way of him helping you solve it in your dreams. I promise you that it'll work out something like that.
Okay.
You call me and tell me what happens. Is that all right? Okay. You
yes,
find that helpful?
You.
Good.
Yes, very, very much, Phil. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I did spend a lot of time with Kate, and I was right about all the things I was babbling about, but I sometimes can't help what I'm saying, but it seemed like it all fit. And let me see now. 866-8883. That's an 800 number. Pardon, David?
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This very thing that you just described.
Yeah.
To this gal about having a dream about her father.
Mm-hmm.
My wife had a dream about her father 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
Her father was very, very tough on her when she was a child.
Yeah, cruel. Yeah, I know that.
In her dream, she saw him come to her and tell her that he loves her and that he doesn't want to continue being this way.
Isn't that interesting?
And then she called him up today and she had a talk with him. And she hadn't talked to him for 6 months. Because he has a tendency to do little mean things to her, play mind games with her.
Yeah.
But in a sense, exactly what you just described happened to my wife within the last 2 days.
There you are, you see, and you didn't tell me about
that. Exactly what you described.
I'm a wily old creature, aren't I?
Pretty amazing. But the main point is that Jesus said, of myself, I can do nothing.
That's correct, and we must understand that we have to have the courage to stand back and look at this and know it's not us that's tormenting us.
Well, but not only that, but you don't have the intelligence or any of the power to work those things out on your own.
You haven't got the authority.
That's right. You don't.
See? And it knows that. In other words, you're already a slave, and a slave cannot free itself by struggle unless it has some kind of superior forces, and you don't. It's a spiritual warfare that's going on, and psychology is not. This is not well understood, but I understand the psychology of it as well as the spiritual aspect of it. All right, we'll take our call. Florida, I do hope that you can that you understood what I was saying, because there's a certain that information applies to you.
Yes, I pretty much understand.
Something inside you wants to kill you.
95% of everything you say. But, you know, that I'll be 42 in a week or two.
So?
And what do you say, so?
Yeah, yeah, so big deal.
Well, you know.
You've got 42 years of knowing what not to do.
60, I understand.
Yeah.
But I've had this same dream, too. It goes back to a post-traumatic one-day incident that happened that changed my life.
What was that?
It was playing football and having seven knee surgeries, and that was...
Is that all?
As ridiculous as that may sound, that has haunted me, and I don't even consciously care anymore.
Well, no, we're just, no, that's a contradiction. You do.
Well, no, subconsciously,
never mind subconsciously. The subconscious, you become conscious of your subconscious, means
Exactly.
There's a cure there. Or you can hate, you can ruminate in indulge it again, indulge the memory of it and get a good head of hate going.
Yeah.
See? And so which do you prefer? And why would you prefer the latter to
I'm a glutton for punishment.
No, that's good. You're addicted to hate.
I agree.
Anyway, but why? But what is this about football? Were you a professional football player?
Potentially.
So you thought that, oh my God, my future is gone. These dirty rats.
Exactly.
Oh well, that's very characterless. Actually, that's the best thing. That's the best thing that ever happened to you. That you never became a football star. If you became a star, you'd have bigger problems.
I would have killed myself. I already know that.
You wouldn't have been able to handle success. If you can't handle failure, you can't handle success.
Exactly. So
you're better off with this. Otherwise, you'd be perplexed when you get there. You'd be like, the lady that's gone crazy. What's her name?
Britney Spears.
Britney Spears. She doesn't know how to deal with success. She's going crazy.
Yes.
And she's bewildered. She doesn't know. She has no idea what's wrong with her. She's as high as a kite and as crazy as a loon. Can't help herself. And it's not treatable by a psychiatrist, basically, unless she made to understand not to get high on success. But it's very hard to do. Success is a tremendous opiate. But if you learn to deal with failure properly, you have other skills and talents other than stupid old football.
Believe me, it's gone. And I can still throw one, but
you ought to thank God that thank God for those knee surgeries. Thank God that you never became a football star. And now go ahead.
Well, you know, as you were talking about the other night about how my finger got cut off.
Yeah.
But see, what I have come to appreciate is that I was never meant to be a rock star.
Yeah, and you might have been if your finger was there.
Absolutely. I mean,
you wouldn't have been able to handle it. I wouldn't have been able to stop you.
Person in a lot of ways, and nothing could have stopped me. See,
that's right.
So I'm grateful for this lack of a finger. You don't even.
Yeah,
know.
Be grateful for your knee surgeries, because what you aspire to be is nothing else but pure stupid ego. And, you know, and meaningless. If you face God and say, "What did you do for a living?" Oh, I was a football player. Good. Open the trap door, and down you go. All right, we'll be right back. All right, we're going to have a guest tomorrow night on Wednesday, and his name is Dr. Hayter. He's a psychiatrist, friend of mine.
That's Hayter, not Hayter.
Well, I've tried to get him to change his name, but to Lover.
We want him to call himself Dr. Lover.
But he's a very good man. I've known him for 28 years, and just recently at a seminar last summer, he said, "Finally, I see what Roy's doing." And we have a video of that. I think we should play it. A video of him explaining, "My God, 28 years, finally, I realize how simple it is." But it's hard. It's simple, but yet hard to go through education seminars that you have to do to become a psychiatrist. All that learning gets in the way. Not that it doesn't have any value, but... with all thy understanding, get all thy effort and all thy heart, soul, get understanding first. And anyway, he's going to be here tomorrow night and spend maybe an hour, 2 hours with David and myself. We're going to talk about his journey, and we're going to talk about I think he's going to join with us with the Patriot Outreach with some two-star generals and psychiatrists in the military, to help our military and our veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder. And we're going to help them wholesale, not just one at a time, 50 at the time. See, that's what we're going to do, and maybe 100 at the time, because that's how easy it is to help them. And it's easy to fix your problems, too, if you could just hear one little word. Are you ready? resentment. Resentment, it means to feel again. It means you get upset and then you have a memory of it because you didn't deal with it properly. If you had dealt with it properly, there would be no memory of it. Nothing to torment you, but then you resent the memory because it haunts you. It nags you. It teases you. And there you go for the rest of your life until you're dead. And all the drugs and pills cannot cure that. It's not hardwiring. It's something your soul can overcome. See, now, but if you know the way to the way, you have it within you. 866-RADIO-ROY. 866, no 800 number. 866, no 800, 866-RADIO-ROY, okay? Otherwise you get a porno site. Sorry about that. And FHU.com. We'll be right back.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Lodi, all right. We're going to go to our calls again. We're going to go to Sandra in Lodi, California. Hello, Sandra.
Hello, Mr. Masters. I just kind of wanted to call you. I just need guidance is what I need. I'm suffering from anxiety and panic attacks, and
you need to always let your conscience be your guide and don't think it's your enemy, and you'll be okay.
I try.
So you wanted God? No, you can't try.
Okay.
You must let. You must allow. See, you try. You try to be right. You know right from wrong. I know you do.
Yes.
And you know justice from injustice. You know it when you see it. The trouble is you don't know how to deal with it when you experience it. And you discover that. That's a secret. And because injustice is a very dangerous power. The people who are possessed, who are unjust, were little children, you know, they weren't always there. They're not born that way. But they've been violated. And so therefore they're doing unto you what was done unto them. They cannot help themselves, as Jesus said it. He said it while he was being beaten to death, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And then you think, how can a person who's killing you not know what he's doing? That's exactly the case. They're so programmed, they cannot help themselves. They were bred and born that way, and like the Muslims, like the fascist Muslims, they have no choice to live. All their options are closed. They're completely brainwashed and subject to Caesar, and it's all there is to it. And we have to go to war with these people, but until war comes in the real sense of the word with the military, you can deal with it within the framework of a democracy, where in some countries you don't have that. You don't have a choice but to go along, to get along, as they eat you or kill you. So as long as you have a democracy, you have the law on your side, you have the laws of the books, the laws of the heart on stone, that protects you legally. But now you have the law on the books, that's also in your heart. And if you can find them in your heart, you won't need the laws on the books. But the people who assault you and are cruel to you, you can put them in jail where they belong, or set them back, or confuse them and confound them, because they don't have the law on this, the law of God on their side, or the law on the books on their side. You can have them completely buffaloed, and at worst and at best, you make a friend. Because you have dealt with an imperfect person in the perfect way, and you won them over. You win them over by not getting upset in the first place. And that is a gift. That's a quote, a gift of grace. That I can't give it to you. You already have it. You only have to be still and let it catch up with you. Now, being still is not that easy.
Right.
Because you're tangled up with your mind, and the forces that have made their home in you are keeping you distracted with this and that, with this worry. And if he said that to me, I'll say that to him, all kinds of things. It's a whole laundry list of things that will keep reminding you, and you get, before you know it, you're going round and round like an endless loop. endless tape over and over again, being tormented and re-upset and re-upset by the things in your head, plus the things that are going on, you know, your conditioning upsetting you. And so we all die from it. We all die from stress. We do not die from anything else but sin that makes a home in us. And you can't leave the world that way. I'm telling my audience, when you say I'm affected by stress, you are affected by people who've been stressed. And by, so in other words, you go all the way back to antiquity. It's called being born in sin. So every person is born into the world, is corrupted by it, and then they have become parents and they affect their own children. They don't know how to protect them. And so, no matter how nice you are, even niceness can be a form of cruelty and seduction and temptation. Even the best intentions can ruin people. But there's a pure way, and that way America must find, since we've got the law, the laws of Moses on the books, the Ten Commandments, and then the ancillary ones, which are good to strengthen them. We need the law in our hearts, so we won't need verses and chapters. We will know how to be a Jesus. We will know how to deal perfectly with imperfect people, and we will win the day. We will advance through them, and they will not no longer advance through us. They're advancing through us, but there's a legion of them. So the people that do it to you had someone did it to them, and that person had someone to do it to them all the way back through the generations. It's never stopped. People can't stop themselves. They don't know it. They don't even know they're doing it. You have to make them conscious of what they're doing, and you have to stop them in their tracks. And the way you do it is not react to them. And that is a shock to their system. When they meet a person they cannot have their way with, they can't get upset, they don't know how to deal with the shock of seeing the God in you. You see the devil in them, or the cruelty in them, but they see the goodness shining through you. And you're just the medium for it, and they're the medium for it. They're not really bad people. They're people being acted through badly, through bad forces. And it's making a home in you. You have to learn to find that perfect defense, which is patient endurance. And you can go to my website and download it, or give this lady a copy of the CD. You know what to do, Joseph, don't you? Thank you very much. If she wants to talk to me after the break, I'll still talk to her. I know I didn't give her a chance to talk back.
Patriots, there is a new battlefield. Feelings of isolation and anger turn inward, such that we are bringing home the enemy. Who will take care of us if we don't? There is no need to struggle alone and in darkness. Seeking professional help is always advisable. Yet, there is a strong cultural resistance to admitting the need or seeking the help. PatriotOutreach.org is a valuable tool. It provides very private, simple, non-intrusive support. It is confidential, effective, and powerful. We provide important advice for warriors, veterans, retirees, government civilians, battlefield contractors, and family members to help them cope and overcome stress, anger, pain, or even PTSD. Check it out. It's private and confidential. Go to www.patriotoutreach.org. That's www.patriotoutreach.org. Go to patriotoutreach.org.
The program you are hearing has been made possible by listeners like you. For over 40 years now, Roy Masters has been searching the airwaves for those ready to enact a positive, lasting change in their lives. His no-nonsense, direct approach cuts straight to the heart of his listeners' problems and saves them years of therapy and medications. His prison ministry enables lost souls to regain control of their lives and become productive members of society. And don't forget the many children who have benefited from their parents' understanding of Roy Masters' teachings. If you have been helped by this program, please help us to help others by making a regular donation to the Foundation of Human Understanding. However small, every little bit helps. Just call our office between 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time and ask about our convenient auto-debit program. The number is 800-877-3227. Without you, none of this could have been made possible. Thank you for your continued support.